The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen Rose, Los Angeles Lakers revealed the championship banner. Will they get another one at the end of this season?
That's a beautiful scene. Great to see AD and LeBron and Jeannie Buss and the family, Lakers Nation, enjoying their 17th championship to tie the Celtics. That's as close as you'll get to a championship. Let's start the show.
Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do?
What up, though? We get the people what they want.
There is so much to discuss in the NBA, and we will discuss some of that with the Mavs, Jalen Brunson later, but we start with the return of the beard in Brooklyn. James Harden is back, and Jalen, he didn't even look like he missed a step.
I liked
what I saw from him. What do you think?
When you step through, too. Brooklyn, so he's a masterful playmaker. And when he's out on the floor, I appreciate his role now with the Nets is to understand that he got to make everybody around him better. Mm-hmm. He's the facilitator. He's the orchestrator. He's the quarterback of the offense. Kyrie's the assassin. Is going to go one-on-one and try to go for 35 every night. KD, Iceberg Slim, shooting trays from the suburbs. James Harden is the guy that now everybody else wants to move, and Jeff Green wants to cut, and Claxton is getting dunks, and Harris can now get more opportunities. And he plays at his own pace. And I know what you're now going to say to me. Hey, Jalen, since Harden is back, are you ready to predict that the Nets are going to win it all? Is that what you're ready for me to say? Is that what you're ready to challenge me on?
No, I like you. I like you going against the Nets. I like you betting, picking against the Nets because I know the Nets are going to come out of the East, and you're going to change your pick eventually. But one thing I love about James Harden, he's very self-aware. He understands who James Harden is, and here's what he had to say after the game.
Not to, like, brag or anything, but I'm, like, I'm really good at this game.
I love this. He's like, look, I'm going to be humble about this, but like, I'm really good at basketball. So y'all might be surprised that I look so good playing basketball today, but I'm really good at basketball. Love it so much.
And also, based on the sacrifice each needs to make, KD is a two-time finals MVP. We've seen Kyrie win a championship. James now making this a supers team has to be the one that makes the sacrifices. And fortunately for them, his game is built to do so. Years ago, people thought I was bugging when I said Harden is the most unique offensive weapon that has ever played in the NBA. You know George Gervin got my phone number, right? You know I had so many people hitting me that was like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, he's the only guy that's ever going to lead the league in total threes made, free throws made, total assists. Just think about that. Usually that's four different guys. James Harden has been the embodiment of your unique talent. And now that he's healthy, I know why you're very excited about the Nets. But their big three still has only played seven games together.
Well, when James Harden is on the floor, the Nets are 28-7. When he is off, they're 11-11. They're certainly in a better spot with him than without him. And we move on to another team looking to get all their superstars on the floor. And that is the Los Angeles Lakers, who we just saw raise the banner. Well, didn't have the superstars on the floor for this one, but they did have some good contributions from others. What do you think about the bench coming through in this one?
When teams win championships, there's a reason why everybody affiliated gets a ring. Family members, people that work in the organization, even sometimes people that cover the team, and everybody on the roster. Of course, we're going to celebrate LeBron James and his excellence and Anthony Davis being their top players. But if you're looking now deeper into the Lakers roster, Kyle Kuzma giving them quality minutes. Andre Drummond has now started to play better. THT, with Schroeder and Caruso out, is now giving them a great opportunity to win games. So each of those guys feel confident about themselves. Montrezl Harrell was just recently getting DNPs, Jacoby. He's the sixth man of the year. It just shows you the kind of depth that they have when they're healthy.
Well, when you look at where the Lakers are in the standings in the West, we talked yesterday about how maybe going to the play-in game wouldn't be the worst thing because you end up matched up with the Suns instead of the Clippers. But the Blazers won yesterday against the Jazz. The Mavericks won yesterday against the Pelicans. They're not giving up the 5 and 6 spot. I think the Lakers will end up in 7 in the play-in, and I also think that's not the worst thing in the world. What do you think?
I agree with you. All things relative. However, you don't have room for error when you flirt with the play-in game. I mentioned the Lakers last night, but LeBron wasn't playing, and AD wasn't playing. And AD has a groin injury. And you know what I learned about those? They don't necessarily heal overnight. So this is something that likely is going to linger with Anthony Davis. So the goal should be to play less games, Jacoby, and not more. You put yourself in the play-in, all of a sudden a freak injury or accident happens. Steph Curry goes out and puts up 45 on you. And before you know it, you're out in the play-in. And so it's important for them, yes, if all things are relative, to play against the Suns versus the Clippers. But they're not in a position to play those games because you're now flirting with a single or double game elimination because you're involved in the play-in.
I fully expected LeBron James to be in uniform when that banner was revealed. Didn't you? Because we thought maybe he would play Tuesday night. And the idea that he wasn't available, that he wasn't in uniform when that banner was revealed, was a little bit concerning for someone who definitely has the Lakers coming out of the Western Conference. But I look forward to seeing him on the court soon. I don't think he's going to make his debut in a play-in tournament. Jalen, it is now time for some unfounded, irresponsible speculation about NFL quarterbacks. That is what we do. And of course, we start with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, still not with the Packers. The Packers have one quarterback on the roster named Jordan Love, who's never wore the uniform before. However, they signed Blake Bortles. Also, the schedule was released. They have not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 night games and a game on Christmas. Jalen Rose.
Night.
Do you think Blake Bortles or Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers will be under center for these games for the Packers?
Give me my money. All I'm worried about is week 2, but we'll talk about that later when they play the Lions. It's plain and simple what we know is happening with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. The man wants to get a raise, Jacoby. He has no guaranteed money on his deal. He's been working for that company for over 15 years. He's smart enough to know a starting quarterback in today's NFL has guaranteed money on their contract, especially if they've proven to be as elite as he is. So until that changes, it's great that those 5 national games are scheduled, but I don't anticipate, unless I see him get a new deal, that he'll be playing.
Well, we will see. But one thing I do know that the Packers are not planning on having Blake Bortles start these games. Because look, this is unfair. I want to apologize to Blake Bortles and the Bortles family. Our producers put this together. Listen, when's the MVP of the league going to the Hall of Fame? All right? Blake Bortles has been in the league for a long time. He's made a lot of money. Big shout out to Blake Bortles. But he is not the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers come week 1. They hope that is the MVP, Aaron Rodgers. And Jalen, just because we like you, we decided to allow you to have a look at the full Lions schedule, the full Detroit Lions, your team. This is the happiest you're going to be as a Lions fan all season long. When you look at the schedule, how many wins do you see?
Stand by me. Oh, Stan. Let me tell you something, Jacoby. When I look at the Detroit Lions 2021 regular season schedule, you know what I see? Let me tell you what I see. I see 10 wins.
Well, no,
that's
no, I meant
what
this
I
season.
See.
No, not the next two seasons. This season.
Put the schedule back up there. I'm going to you the 10 wins right now. Put the schedule back up there. I see 10 wins for my Lions. We going to San Fran and we getting week one. We bite kneecaps right from the beginning. We're not playing those games. Week two, now we get a chance to play on national without Aaron Rodgers. That's a win.
Oh, stop
Lamar,
it.
That's going to be trouble.
Jalen, I'm not going to let you finish this exercise.
Justin Fields
I'm not
going to
let you finish
this
for your own good. For your own good. We don't have to go through every game.
Justin
There's
Fields
no
ain't gonna
chance
be playing yet.
They get 10 wins. They'll be underdogs in every single one of those games. Seriously, every single game. There's not a single game on there that I see that be like, the Lions will be favorite. They will not be favored in any of these games the entire season long. The entire season long.
We're going to beat the Bengals.
Do you know what they are going to lead the league in, though, Jalen Rose? They are going to lead the league
in. We're going to beat the Vikings twice.
In bitten kneecaps. They're going to lead the league in bitten kneecaps.
We're going to get up. On the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
Wait, I'm sorry. Coach Dan Campbell, what are you guys going to do?
We're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
They're going to lead the league in bitten kneecaps.
Let me teach you something about the greatness of the Detroit Lions this year. See, I'm from the city, born and raised, 313. The trenches is when the game is won. Do you know that we got the best center in football? Did you know that? Do you know what we did in the draft this year? We secured the line, Jacoby. Jared Goff is going to have more time to throw. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our running backs are going to have more holes to run through. So when Aaron Donald, we're going to block him. We're going to block Khalil Mack twice this year. 10 wins, dog. We got the best line in football. We got the best line in Detroit. 10
you know
wins.
I'm going to save Jalen from himself. We're going to end this segment because we have another Jalen joining the program. Two Jalens coming up. Jalen Rose, of course, and that man, Jalen Brunson, having an amazing season for the Mavs, who are headed into the playoffs. We'll get a lot of perspective from him about his team and much more right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Stay tuned. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in Pier 17 in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen on the show right now is someone named Jalen. I'm actually excited to talk to. There he is right there, the Mavs, Jalen Brunson. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You guys got an important win yesterday against the Pelicans, but more importantly, you had the return of Kristaps Porzingis to the Mavericks lineup. How important is he as you guys enter the playoffs?
He's a big part of what we do. He's just a force inside on offense and defense. And then him being back last night gave us a little juice, and so we're happy to have him for playoffs.
Luka dropped another 30 last night. He been out there killing at an all-NBA level. What is it like to play with him, and what do you believe makes his game so special?
I think the best part about his game is his pace. You can't be sped up. He can make decisions. He just slows the game down, and then he can pick it up whenever. He's, like you say, he's so dynamic. He can do a lot of things with the ball, and he can make his teammates better.
You know, Jalen Rose usually takes us behind the curtain and into the locker room, but we want Jalen Brunson to do it now. There's been some reports about some tension between Luka and KP, and Mark Cuban addressed it. What's really going on in that Mavs locker room?
We have some great chemistry, honestly. There's a lot of stuff that's happening outside, but I think we've done a good job of keeping everything in-house. We don't really worry about what's happening on the outside. We've been really just on the same page. And we talk things through and everything that we need to. But our chemistry is growing right now. It's getting better, and we're just excited to be in the position we're in.
I don't mean to expose one of your trade secrets, but you're one of the best finishers on drives in the entire NBA. At your size, what is it like to play at that pace, kind of like you said with Luka, but also be able to get buckets with the best of them in the league?
Just trying to find ways to be me. I've always had to try and fit in, and I'm not trying to slow down anytime soon. So I kind of figure out how to play with Luka. He's obviously going to dominate the ball, make a lot of plays, and make a lot of decisions. So I just got to find ways to be efficient and be effective at the same time.
Well, the Matt, your team has consistently climbed up the standings, and when you guys were at the seventh spot, there were some complaints about the play-in tournament, but now you guys seem like you're safely on the outside of that. How do you feel about the play-in tournament for the league moving forward decades?
I think it's great for fans. I think it's great for fans and how they'll be able to really enjoy that, you know, one or two game playoff type atmosphere. But for the players, it's probably the complete opposite. Now, we've played this year 72 games. So going forward, playing 82 games and having one or two games decide your fate, it might not be the best thing for the players' perspective. But for the fans, I think it's great.
Kobe Bryant, the late great, will be inducted into the Hall of Fame this weekend. You recently posted some pictures about you and his relationship. Can you let us know about how you and Kobe had your relationship and how it affected your career?
I think Kobe had a great relationship with my parents, first and foremost. My mom and Kobe were teammates in college at Temple University, roommates. My dad obviously played with Kobe in the summer times in Philly and things like that. So their relationship's there. Kobe, and actually that picture right there, he actually gave me his Christmas Day shoes in Chicago. So he's had a big impact on my career. He's I think most importantly, has affected my family in ways that no one can probably deem possible. So he's a force in my family, and he always will be.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Philly, because the schedules came out yesterday. I know you looked at that Eagles schedule. Now we got Jalen Rose here, Jalen Brunson here. But how do you feel about Jalen Hurts and your Eagles heading into this season?
I'm excited. I think we have a lot of potential. Jalen Hurts, especially with the new draft pick, Devontae, I'm excited. I know Dallas fans are not going to like me for saying this, but I mean, I'm an Eagles fan until I die. That's my first love right there.
Talk further about your disdain for the Cowboys. You recently said you'd rather scrape your teeth against concrete before you root for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean that wholeheartedly. To the soul, I mean that. That's one. It's against my religion.
Why do you hate the Cowboys so much? Why in particular do you hate the Cowboys so much?
Philly-Dallas rivalry. You can't. It's not any religion, man. You cannot like the Cowboys. That doesn't mean I don't have respect for them, but as a fan of Philly, I can't roll with that.
Well, we're so happy you took the time to join us on the show. We look forward to you dominating in these playoffs, as you've had a great
Thanks
season.
A lot.
We look
Keep
forward
balling.
To watching you continue it. Thank you.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
We'll be back
Thanks
with much
a lot.
More.
Appreciate the love.
Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. This Friday night, 9:30 on ESPN, it is the Pelicans taking on the Warriors. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. I want to thank Jalen Brunson for coming through. You can always get exclusive content with our guests when you listen to the podcast. Jalen, last night the Celtics needed a win. You thought, oh, they're going to play the Cavs? No problem. Guaranteed W. The Celtics lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are tanking. Jalen, what does this tell you about the Celtics' attitude and approach to the game right now?
Before Jaylen Brown got hurt, I told you that they were going to be a first-round exit. Now they're playing like a team that has quit on Brad Stevens, that isn't really enthusiastic about even participating in the play-in. Ooh. That's what I see. And Ooh. I hope they turn it around if and when that opportunity presents itself. But that was a Kevin Love showcase game. It was a Kevin Love showcase game.
What do you mean by that?
This offseason, you're going to hear rumblings about where he's going to end up. And then we're going to reference this night again if and when the Celtics get mentioned. Stay tuned.
Well, Jalen, there's some good news and some bad news for New York Knicks and New York Knicks fans. The good news, they clinched the playoff spot. First time since 2003, they clinched a playoff spot. And as someone who jumped on the Knicks bandwagon, I do have to say this. The number 6 seed is very different than the number 5 seed this year, okay? You can clinch a playoff spot, but if that first round is against the Bucks, it is very different than that first round being against the Heat or the Hawks. I am very confident in the Knicks' ability to get to a Game 5 against the Heat or the Hawks. Not that confident in their ability to get to a Game 5 against the Bucks.
I'm proud of you, my brother, that you invented words in a sports vernacular like stretch mark five and die easy fan. But you're just taking it way too far. You're off the Knicks already? At least
no,
let
I'm
the
not
season
the
end.
I'm not rooting for the Knicks. I
you're
want them to
predicting
win.
That they lose?
We always say success is a function of realistic expectations. And realistic expectations in a seven-game series against the Bucks are to get one win and go five games. Anything above that is all good. Jalen, we have some news breaking in the NBA. The NBA has named a social justice award after Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It will be awarded to the player that has, in their mind, done the most in the fight against inequality. How do you feel about that?
You go ooh and ah when I jump in my car. People treat me like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Legend. Okay. Holy grail. Icon. On and off the floor. Never have a basketball conversation about the GOATs and not include Kareem. Never have a conversation about social justice athletes and not mention Kareem. This is well deserved. It's an honor to know him, and I need this to be highlighted. So I'm glad we're talking about it on the show.
We always say we get the people they want. Part of that is doing exclusive podcast content with our guests. Joining us right now is Mavs guard Jalen Brunson. Now, Jalen, you know, Jalen Rose and I watch all the games on League Pass, and we cover the league, so we've been known about you. But you've had somewhat of a breakout season. What does it feel like to have people sort of like discover you this season? You've been in the league getting buckets for a long time.
It feels good. It feels kind of emerge onto the scene. But anything for me, what's most important for me is just to keep going and not change anything. I do the same things I've been doing since I can remember. Being in the gym, working on my game, getting shots up, making sure my mind's right, doing everything I need to do to make sure my head's clear and ready to play basketball. So even though I've been playing a lot better, playing more efficiently, the things can't change. My routine can't change. So I got to make sure I stick by that.
What is it like for you to play for Rick Carlisle? I had him as the associate head coach when I was in Indiana. And he was a guy that talked to me about, taught me how to come off screens and how really to break down film when I was early in my career. What are some of the things you gained for playing for Coach Carlisle?
Playing for Coach is great. He's always given me confidence whenever I'm on the floor. He's allowed me to play make, allowed me to be able to, you know, make plays for myself and for others. He's been great. It's someone that I can talk to. Your relationship's growing every time. With every day, our relationship continues to grow. He's a great dude. He knows what he's talking about. He loves teaching the game of basketball. So I'm all eyes, all ears.
So I have a very simple question I need you to answer. Why does everyone love Boban so much?
Boban, he's a character. He's a character. He's I can't put why people love him so much, but I know that he's a personable guy, and that everyone sees Boban and you see this big 7-foot, you know, goofball who loves to play around, have fun. Now he's a great teammate. He's just one dude who's always has a smile on his face. So you see something like that, you know, that's why everyone loves him.
There's another 7-foot I want to ask you about. What's your favorite Dirk Nowitzki story?
My favorite Dirk story. I think with me and him, it was a national TV game. I think he was mic'd up. And so he was talking to me. It was my rookie year. He was talking to me. He's like, yo, you've never seen a frame like this, 7-footer, you know, shooter, mobile, that can do it all. And I remember him saying mobile. I stopped right there. I said, whoa, mobile? This ain't 13 years ago. You can't move no more, buddy. You can't move no more. But You can hear me in the mic saying mobile. Question is mobile.
Listen, I know you're gonna give the like trained athlete answer to this, but I have to ask. Do you guys, whether you're on the bus or at practice or in the locker room, do you ever look at the standings and say, well, you look, if it works this way, we're going to play the Clippers. If it goes this way, we're going to play the Suns. Like, you must be looking at that stuff, right?
No question. Especially this late in the year. You know, you kind of want to prepare yourself to see where you're going to be and who you're going to play. Start preparing your mind for that. I think we've done a good job as a team of knowing what's at stake, but not putting pressure on ourselves to say, all right, if we win this game tonight, this is where we are. If we lose this game, this is what happens. Now, we kind of know the situation, but we go out there and do what we do, and it's in God's hands at that point.
For those that don't know, I played with Jalen's father, Rick, in the league. I played against him in college. I love him very much. And you've been around the game for a very long time. So you've seen a lot of people get upset with the officials. I believe that Luke is taking an unfair rap and people getting on him a little too much about complaining to the refs. What do you guys think about that and people talking about Luke whining too much to the refs?
I think it goes both ways. We've talked to him about it. Obviously, we need him. We need him on the floor. And so part of it's on him, and then part of it's just, you know, everyone giving him that rep, always talking about it. And it's just, I think for us, we got to control what we can control. And that's him. And so we've talked to him about it. Now he's going to get better at it. And we can't let that seep in. We can't let that affect all of us. And he knows that, and he's getting better at it. So as teammates, we're going to have to hold each other accountable.
Now, Jalen specifically asked me not to talk about this during this interview, but of course I'm not going to listen to him because I never do. But, you know, Jalen feels a kinship with all the other Jalens. Like, he feels like you guys are all his nephews, and he roots for all of you, right? But my question for you is, do you feel a kinship with other Jalens, not Jalen Rose?
Yeah. Yeah, especially the one spelled J-A-L-E-N, for sure. For sure.
Yes, indeed.
It's cool seeing other Jalens and succeed and everything like that. It's just weird. It's like a little telepathy thing. Like, you just root for them. Nothing's ever personal. You don't really, no bad blood ever. It's just like when you see them, you shake your head. You just know what it's about. It's weird. There's never any bad blood.
The Jalen community. Absolutely. You guys give each other the Jalen nod.
And I appreciate the love. And how about this? Your Philadelphia Eagles, your squad that you love, has one under center. How about that? Your starting quarterback, and it's spelled J-A-L-E-N. That's crazy.
That is crazy, man. Now I definitely can never switch to the Dallas dark side, ever. Definitely not.
So, before you came on, Jalen looked at the Lions schedule and said they're going to win 10 games, okay? So this is like one of the most optimistic parts of the NFL year for fans. And the Eagles are in the NFC East, and we all know what comes with that. So right now, of 17 games, how many games do you see as wins when you look at the Eagles schedule?
I'm going to say 10 or 11.
Of course.
I'm gonna say 10 or 11. The reason why I said 10 or 11. One, I knew the schedule came out, but I haven't looked at the full schedule. Two,
you don't have to.
I think I have to be completely optimistic because I know this is gonna be one of these years where you just don't know what's gonna happen. So for us, we're gonna do what we gotta do, and we have a Jalen under center, like you said. So I mean, all Jalens know how to persevere.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we definitely appreciate you joining the show. Continue success for the rest of the year. Hold down that sixth seed, and we'd love to have you back on any chance you get.
Appreciate you guys, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for the love.
I want to thank Jalen Brunson for coming by. Always good to get exclusive content from our guest that we have on the show. So, Jalen, I want to talk a little bit about Russell Westbrook. There's been no shortage of time and energy spent on various sports media outlets discussing Russell Westbrook in the last week, ever since he passed Oscar Robertson with 182 triple-doubles. But I was watching the game last night against the Hawks. It was a tight game. Comes down to the end. Russell Westbrook, at the end of the game, forces a drive, misses. Forces a drive, misses. And then they set up a play, which is a really good play for Bertans to get a pretty deep but open three, which Bertans also missed. Now, we celebrate Russell Westbrook a lot, but why does it feel like at the end of games specifically, defenses sort of like know what he's trying to do and have the ability to stop?
Well, this is what makes Russell Westbrook a polarizing figure. Because while he's a future Hall of Famer, there are times in particular during the game you feel like he's not necessarily making an efficient decision with the ball. And that could be shot selection. That could be certain plays where he's out of control. It could be plays where he's getting into it and getting a technical foul at a time where his team doesn't need it.
Mm.
But all great players have warts, including him. But all of the cliches that you want from a player apply to Russell Westbrook. You know how when you say you want somebody to play hard all of the time? That's actually what he does. You know when you say you want somebody that's not out there fraternizing, trying to make friends and has killer instinct? That's him as well. Go ahead, sir.
One thing I've always noticed is people like me that never played in the NBA don't appreciate this as much as people that did. The he brings it every night guy. You know what I mean? Like that, he brings it every night. So talk to me, because as someone from the outside, it's like, well, he brings it every night. So it sounds like a cliche, no big deal. But people that played in the league know the difference. So something tells me you weren't the guy that brings it every night. So explain to me the difference.
No. Let me tell you the hardest thing to do in any walk of life is be consistent. That's the hardest thing to possibly do in any walk of life. It could be school, it could be your profession. It's to show up every day. Jalen and Jacoby don't have backups because we show up every day. And it's not that we're going to get extra credit for doing so. People should get days off. That's why we're granted them. It's just that we've made up in our mind that we want to show up every day and give the people what they want. That's what Russell Westbrook does. Here's the best compliment I can pay him. He plays like they're not keeping score. Jacoby, how many times have you played rec ball and there was a shot within the first 5 points that you didn't mind somebody taking, and then it was a shot within the last 2 or 3 points that you got upset that somebody was taking?
It's not that. It's also like there's different. The way I behave in a 2-point game and a 20-point game, no matter which way, whether I'm winning or losing, is very, very different. If we're up 20 or down 20, there's 5 minutes left, I'm just thinking to myself, like, you know what? Let me work on something. You know, let me get a 3-point shot up. You know, like, let me try a real fancy behind the back pass. But in a 2-point game, I behave extremely differently.
See, he's the guy in that 20-point game, they're still playing hard. And you like, dude, why don't you chill out? Get off me, dog. Yeah. Get out my face.
They don't have a 21-point shot.
Why are you picking me up 94 feet right now? Right? Like, why are you denying me the ball right now? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is happening here? Right? He's that guy. And so, whether it's 2 minutes into the game or 2 minutes remaining in the game, if he feels like dribbling across half court and do a pogo stick jump shot from three, he's going to do it. He don't care if they're up 10 or down 10. He don't care if he's missed 10 or made 10 in a row. That's what I mean by bringing it all of the time. You know how impossible that is to do? Let me tell you the statistic that plays out the most with Russ. Rebounds. Rebounds. For anybody that's never been on a basketball court, Russell Westbrook is what, 6'3"?
If that.
Right?
Bro, he's probably shorter 6'3"? Than me.
Right? The average height of an NBA player is 6'7". The average height of an NBA player is 6'7". Those guys are also closer to the basket. And what I mean is he's guarding perimeter players, right? So he's probably guarding Trae Young or Dame Lillard out on the floor or Steph Curry. So what happens when one of those guys go between the legs and behind the back and shoot a 30-foot shot? Jaylen, I'm going to look for the outlet. If it's a long rebound, it better hit to the top of the key. You know what I mean? Y'all handle that and get it out to me. Russ, he running down in there and trying to get the rebound. You know how much effort that takes? And then, like a blur, is pushing the ball up the floor in a broken floor situation. You know how tired somebody would be? When we say, like, Jalen Brunson brought up how Luka never gets sped up. And we talk about how James Harden never gets sped up. You know why that's the case besides the fact that they have great court sense and they're smart players? It's because they're not fast. It's because they're not fast. Right? So how can Luka get sped up? He's not fast. Like, Russell Westbrook is probably him and De'Aaron Fox. Like, I don't want to forget somebody. But, like, I think those are the two fastest people that I see get a rebound and get to the other end of the floor while I'm watching games. And quietly, Ben Simmons is in that conversation, too.
It just looks different because he's taller, but he is fast, yeah.
He's fast, dog. He's fast. And Russ plays with a level of effort and ferocity that you see now is really rubbed off on one Bradley Beal. Have you seen a different Bradley Beal? I have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Like you seen a different Bradley Beal, right? And the reason why is because Russ go hard all of the time. So now when Ken Bazemore start popping off, he like, I don't care if I'm out with a hamstring, I'm going on First Take to talk about this.
He went on like mad podcasts that day. He was just like, I'll show up on anything. I'm surprised he didn't show up at our conference call, steal the Zoom link, just to like, talk to the production staff.
So, exactly.
A couple things about that. Number one, when Ken Bazemore addresses the back and forth, he makes perfect sense. He's like, yo, like my guy Steph, I was just making a joke. Like, I'm always going to ride for my guy. I meant no disrespect. Like, I'm playing. And I was like, oh, yeah, Kent Bazemore. That makes perfect sense. Like, of course you're going to ride for a guy. And then you get to Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal is like, listen, don't joke about things that aren't funny. I had an injury. Like, that's not funny to me. And I was like, oh, man, Bradley Beal got a good point, too. Like, it's one of those things where you're like, I see both sides very clearly. And I'm like, no one's at fault to me. Because once I heard Bazemore, I was like, oh, yeah, Bazemore's, why is this guy being sensitive, whatever. Then once I heard Beal, I was like, yeah, Beal, like, why are you joking about injuries? Joke about something else. They both make perfect sense in that one. So I'm calling that one a draw. I get it.
I agree with you. But one thing I want to make sure I say. This may go over a lot of people's heads because I say it so casually about Russ. But when I say this, this is like holy grail for me. When I call somebody the new era Big O, I'm not joking. Like, I don't just say stuff for, like, you know, for response. I never thought somebody would pass the Big O, dog. Nobody, no, not Magic, not Kid, not LeBron, nobody would pass the Big O. For a human being to have 182 triple-doubles, do you know the kind of effort that you have to play with to get supersized triple doubles? Like, Jacoby don't like the 10, 10, and 10 guys.
Kid and LeBron played in the league a long time. Like, Kid and LeBron, LeBron's still going, but Kid and LeBron played in the league in a long time and didn't even challenge that record.
Here's another way I want you to think about it. Each player that's an all-time great have special attributes. So let me take today's game, for example, like just to show you like a parallel of guards even. You rarely see Steph Curry get 10 rebounds.
Oh, no.
Like, I would probably think that's happened maybe 5 times ever.
7 times.
I don't know this.
Overtime game, a couple long ones bounce to him. Someone taps one to him or something like that. Like, flukish. Like, he's not boxing out.
And just so you know, him and Russell Westbrook are the same height. Now, when you watch them play, now just think about this. Steph, feathery touch, shooting from half court, finishing, jumping off both feet, doing things we've never seen a player do. He and Russell Westbrook are the same height. How about another guy like a Dame? Right? 10 rebounds? 10 rebounds. And with those two guys, usually when they're at their best, it's 35 points and 5 assists. Mm-hmm. When Russ is at his best, it's 35 points and 15 assists and 15 rebounds. Like, what are his career highs in each of those categories? Remember me and you talked about that?
Yeah, we talked about it. Don't do it now because we'll put it on the TV show when, you know, when Russ wins a playing game or something. It has. But like, if you look at his career highs, it's got to be like 40, 25, and 25. Like, I don't know if that's matched. It's wild.
No player.
So, Jalen, you said something earlier that I just want to just give you an example. We were talking about hustle and speed and you said earlier that the Celtics have kind of quit on Brad Stevens, and whether it's Brad Stevens personally they quit on or just this year, you know, a team with championship inspiration sees that they ain't getting there. So it's like, you know what, why am I gonna try as hard as I can, right? But I was watching the Lakers-Knicks game, and Julius Randle's shooting a free throw. Did you see this clip? And the second he shoots the free throw, he's out. You know, like, I've never seen anything like it. He's gone. Sprints to the other side of the floor. Because he's covering Anthony Davis, and he wants to make, because he knows they're going to try to get it to him. And, like, I've never seen someone shoot a free throw and then sprint back. And Bullock was covering for him, and then they had to switch, so he was covering Anthony Davis when the possession started. And I thought to myself, like, that's the Thibodeau difference. Like, that's the Thibodeau difference right there. And you won't see a Celtic do that. Like, that extra effort. Like, just sprinting after you shot the ball. I've never seen anything like it. And I think that's one of the reasons why.
Well, that's the difference between those two teams this year.
Yep, that's kind of what I'm saying.
I got breaking news. I got breaking news. And that's the difference between those two teams this year. Russell Westbrook, his career high is 58 points. His career high is 58 points. And usually the guy that's going to score 58 points ain't going to have a career high of 24 assists.
That was
this
year,
right? And he's done that twice. He's done it twice.
And what about rebounds?
And his career high rebounds is 21.
I want to know if anyone's got that. I don't think anyone's got that. Like, Wilt must be close, but I don't think he woke up one day and said, "Let me get 20 assists." He must have done it because he's done so much. But the only person I can think of is Wilt, Magic, maybe LeBron,
Big O.
Yeah. We'll
Harden.
See. I don't know.
Harden.
Has Harden ever had 24 rebounds? I don't think so. I don't think he's ever had 20 rebounds.
Good point.
I don't think he's ever had 20 rebounds in his career. It takes a special player to do that. And all the people that we're talking about are taller than Russell Westbrook. All of them. Maybe Jason Kidd might be just like an inch taller, but like LeBron's 4 inches taller. Big O's a couple inches taller. Yeah. So I've got the don't get fired topic of the day that I don't even want to discuss too much, but I just feel like when the Deshaun Watson thing blew up, we talked about it every day. We had all these details, all these articles are coming out, and then it just disappears. It just disappears. All of a sudden, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers every day. Deshaun Watson, one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, decided he wanted to trade. He's in a court case. He's been accused by 22 women of sexual misconduct. The NFL is investigating. The police are investigating. The court case is pending, yet no one is talking about it. And I understand why no one's talking about it, because it's not fun to talk about, and it's icky. And it's a he said, she said, and we really don't even understand it. But there is an update. The lawyer, who represents many of the accusers, not all, but many of the accusers, says that there will be no settlement. There are some rumors about a potential settlement. Those were just rumors, though. And he also said that four of his clients have met with the NFL investigators but expressed concern about the way the league is handling the probe. Quote, some of the women did not feel like they were being respected during the NFL investigation. And it's just something that I wanted to just put out there, because I'm not going to act like this didn't happen, because it's not fun to talk about. And something tells me that this is going to resolve itself one way or the other, but I do not see Deshaun Watson getting traded amongst all this. I do not see this investigation ending anytime soon. And it feels like a settlement would be something that Deshaun Watson might pursue, and this is part of the negotiation. Briefly, how do you feel, Mr. Rose?
I feel like it's very slim chance that he's going to play for the Texans this year. And I don't believe he ever plays for the Texans again.
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to the actual court case and the charges, like you mentioned, it's going to get sorted. And the truth is going to express itself. And once it does, depending on if he's guilty of what he's being accused of, then the NFL and or the court system, if he's guilty, is going to punish him accordingly.
Now, we got to get to a voicemail, but I would be remiss if I didn't lead our listeners to please, please look up the back and forth between the official Wingstop account and a huge miscommunication. Huge miscommunication on Twitter. I can't go into details, but please look that up. It is quite a thread to read. Someone in the social team in Wingstop is getting a talking to today. We want to talk to you, so please call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a message. Again, 985-80-JALEN, leave us a message. We always love to hear from you, so please call that right now and leave a message. We'll play it on the show just like this.
Yo, what's up, Jalen and Jacoby? This is Emily. Shout out Reg the Ledge. Shout out the whole crew on the Jalen and Jacoby show. My question for y'all is, you know, y'all been doing the show together for like 10 years. You know, anyone with a relationship that long, you know, bump heads at times, even though y'all seem like y'all get along real well. So my question is, what's the biggest fight that y'all have gotten into?
I mean, first of
thank
all,
thank you for the call. We appreciate
great
the love.
Question. But why are you trying to bring up old stuff, Emily? Wait, why are you trying to bring up old stuff, Emily? like, remember when y'all were really mad at each other? Let's just relive that on wax for everyone to listen to. But I'll say this, is that we always have had our tense conversations, but we've never, like, not messed with each other. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like me and my wife have been like together for an argument like that, yeah.
Yeah, me and my wife have been together for, I think, 19 years now, and we never broke up. You know what I mean? So I'll say it's like that. Like, I'm sure we bumped heads, but we
good
never
point.
Broke up. It was never like, I'm not doing a show with you no more, or I'm out. It's like that. Like,
yeah.
You know, some couples you breaking up.
I'm not texting him, or I'm not calling
yeah.
him. Yeah.
Like, some couples break up, like, every 6 months, or oh, we're separated right now. Like me and my wife never done that, and me and Jalen Rose, my brother, have never done that. And, you know, but there's always arguments. There's always tension.
Not
there's always
gonna
this
be
and
able
that.
To do it.
But, you know. But I'm sure.
I think
you know.
What happens in true friendships, and you just described it in relationships, what happens is the ability to communicate honestly and not take it personal. Yeah. Like, look at each other and know that the person truly got love for you. So if they're saying something to you, it's not because they're trying to diss you. It's because they're your friend and they're trying to challenge you. And it takes a lot of maturity, and it takes a lot of trust to earn that from somebody. And I think since we've earned that from each other, there's no reason to argue about anything, because you're gonna keep your stance and your thoughts and your opinions, And if I make a good point, you'd be like, all right, I'll consider it. But you ain't going to take it personal for me making a suggestion and or vice versa.
So Emily, I'm not going to fall for that trap, but I do have a good Jalen Jacoby memory that's just sort of like shows how far we've come, because chemistry doesn't come in a can. Like, relationships are a function of time spent a lot of the time. You know, like, it's just a function of time spent. And I remember I was thinking, I played pickup, and I remember, man, I used to be good at this game. Because, like, I used to be good at basketball. I'm not good at basketball anymore. And I was thinking about when I was good. And one time I was playing at that fancy-ass Equinox on Sepulveda. And, like, this one dude asked me, he's like, you must have played college. Like, where do you play college? I was like, dude, I was, like, the fourth option on my high school team. You know what I mean? Like I didn't play college. I was just having a good day. And I was like, oh, yeah, I played with Jalen there one time. And I remember the time when I played with you, it was early on in our podcast, probably like year one, year two. And I didn't like text you like, oh, do you want to play ball? Like, I bumped into you in the locker room and I was like, oh, hey, what up? And it was like, oh, hey, surprising to see you. And we ended up being on the same team and playing together. And I remember thinking to myself, like, that was like when we weren't like texting each other, hanging out or making plans outside of doing the pod. You know what I mean? And I was thinking to myself, just like in that memory that was just led from me being bad at basketball that somehow got me here. I was like, yo, like, we used to, like, not be buddies. You know what I mean? And that's, it just takes years and time spent and things to happen over time. And that's why I think that that it's nice to be doing this for 10 years with somebody. And that's some of the reasons for our success.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call, Emily. We appreciate the love. Tell a friend to tell a friend and check us out every day at 2 p.m. And don't hesitate to reach out for any advice about anything, relationships, anything. Your brother's got your back.
Call 985-80-JALEN. But I do want to say one thing about that memory. Is I wish I was hanging out with that Jalen like I'm hanging out with this Jalen, because that Jalen was so much more fun. That Jalen was so much more irresponsible and less mature, going to nightclubs and popping up on TMZ and stuff. Like, that Jalen was fun. I miss that Jalen. Getting in trouble.
Yeah,
don't
I'm
get in trouble
now.
No more.
The yeah, founder of a school. Yeah. Kids in college.
Yeah. You're like a role model now. You're an activist. You just act a fool. Now you're an activist. We'll be back with more tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We are not done.